Hello, namaste. I welcome you all to the 119th session of Guru Bodha. We have with us today Professor Vandana Baramwal, who is a MD from Banaras Hindu University in Stri Roga and Prasuti Tantra Department, currently practicing in USA. On behalf of us, all of our students, I cordially welcome Professor Vandana Baramwal to this session. Good evening and namaste. And I cordially welcome Dr. M.B. Guraja sir to this session, who has been guiding us through all the sessions of Guru Bodha. Good evening and namaste, sir.
Namaste, namaste to all.
I also cordially welcome Dr. Raghuram sir to this session. Good evening and namaste, sir.
Good evening and namaste to all. Professor Vandana ji, nice to have you here at Guru Bodha.
This session is brought to you by easyayurveda.com. I dedicate this and all of my works at the holy feet of Dr. A. Chandrasekhar Udupa.
Thank you, Dr. Hebbar. I welcome you all to my presentation. Thank you for the nice introduction, Dr. Hebbar. And I am going to talk about female infertility due to anti-sperm antibodies. It is a type of immunological or immune infertility. Before I begin the presentation, I just want to read this disclaimer, because practicing in United States of America, we are not medical doctor, we are not authorized yet to diagnose or offer treatment or cure. So this presentation is completely for educational purposes. This is not meant to diagnose or treat any condition. Anybody present in this talk today, I request them to not try it on their own. They should practice within the legal limits of their place. Ayurveda in United States of America is considered alternative and complementary medicine. So, next. So, today's case is a couple with a history of 4 years of infertility treatment and 4 cycles of IVF ET failure reported to the clinic. So, this is the maximum limit. A couple is given chance to undergo this infertility treatment. IVF is tried for 3 to 4 cycles. This couple has undergone 4 cycles of in vitro fertilization, embryo transfer technique under their infertility treatment. And unfortunately, it was not successful. They were diagnosed with autoimmune infertility. And for that, the treatment offered was that female would be kept on a long-term therapy of corticosteroids. As we all know, people are very much aware of the side effects of corticosteroids as well. So this couple didn't want to go that route, and they started exploring, and they came across Ayurveda. It is just that they have never heard about the Ayurveda before, and while they were exploring various complementary and alternative modalities, it sounded to them like something they want to try. So they found me online and they visited the clinic. I explained to them what Ayurveda is and how it works. I simplified it for them to be able to practice at the level of Ahar, Vihar, Aushad, and eventually help them with Panchakarma. I explained them what it is, where it comes from, what are its principles of practice, and they wanted to give it a try. So once we have explained everything, I'm summarizing this, that at the end of the Panchakarma therapy, within 2 months of completion of Panchakarma therapy, in her second cycle of ovulation, she conceived. And at 12 weeks of now, a couple of days back, the ultrasound was done for her first follow-up visit, first trimester visit, and 12 weeks of pregnancy was confirmed. Next. So what is immune or immunological infertility, or what is anti-sperm antibodies? So it is that anti-sperm antibodies, ASAs, can be detected in blood, semen, follicular fluid, as well as in cervicovaginal secretions of the female. How the diagnosis is made is that it can be detected. And what they do is, as it is an antibody, it recognizes the sperm as antigen, or other things, reproductive tissues as antigen. I want to emphasize that I am here talking about female immunological infertility. This immunological infertility can be found in female and male as well. I am talking about female aspect of the immunology. This case is about immunological infertility. So what it can do is either the female body, these secretions would recognize the sperm as antigen and the antibody would be produced and it will destroy it. If the sperm is not destroyed at the onset, it may go and do the fertilization, but before the implantation it may get destroyed. What was happening in this case was embryo was getting formed, but failure was occurring at the time of embryo transfer. The nidation was not happening. The diagnosis was made anti-sperm antibodies. How much women suffer from this? The study says that 9 to 36% of women suffer from it. And this is not very well understood. The modern science does not understand why it happens and what should be the therapeutic approach. Because the cause is not known, they do not have a definite plan for its treatment as well. Next. And that was the reason they were recommended corticosteroid. So the study says that it is about 1 out of 5 couple of active reproductive age may suffer from the immunological infertility. And the semen is a complex fluid. It contains, along with the sperm, many components. And any of these components, which are protein in nature, can sensitize the female genital tract. And it can recognize one of the components of the semen as antigen, and antibodies might be produced. There are not many studies as well. This problem is not highly explored. If you Google search and try to use other search engines and try to find out similar cases, there are not many cases reported. The history says that it was first recognized in 1932 that circulating antigens are present and female secretions or female body can react to sperm as an antigen. And first time anti-sperm antibodies were described in 1954 by Romke. Next, but it has been a long time. First observed in 32, explained in 1954, and we are in 2024. There has been decades, but still it is a poorly understood problem. Next. So we can conclude that when this problem is there, it negatively affects the conception and fertility. ASAs have these anti-sperm antibodies work. They could be cytotoxic. They can completely destroy it. Or the motility of the sperm is required for the fertilization. It can immobilize the sperm. Sperm have its physical and chemical properties, but it is not able to move, go up again, meet the ovum and do the fertilization. And for that movement, mobility is very important. It can destroy that, or it can just form a clump of these sperms and it would be unable to perform its function. And where it can be diagnosed, like I first said, it is diagnosed in blood, lymph, seminal, follicular fluid or cervico-vaginal mucus. Next, it is IgG isotype. Like there are B and T lymphocytes. This happens because of the presence of natural killer cells, which is also one of the types of the lymphocyte. Next. So how many females suffer from immunological infertilities? It is observed 36% of females suffer from, the incidence is more in male. The 53% male have been reported to suffer from anti-sperm antibodies. Next, male produces its own antibodies against their own. It is a kind of autoimmune condition. Next. So now coming to the case history. This is the This case is about an American couple. Female was age 32, male was 42 years old. Female was a white female of European descent. Male was Afro-American from Ghana. They are educated, well-to-do, coming from stable and they have met at teenage, had lived together and got married. So they did not have the history of multiple partners. They were educated and well-to-do financially. Male was in IT, have a stable job, and female used to work as an associate in warehouse and school. They both had stable jobs. They were educated. And they have been trying to conceive since 2015. Previous slide, please. The couple has been trying to conceive since 2015. When they naturally did not conceive in 2019, they visited to the doctor and started looking for some medical intervention why the conception is not happening. Going into the history of the female, menstrual cycle was regular. She didn't had, it was not associated with any kind of negative observations. Occasionally, there was heavy bleeding. Occasionally, it was associated with mild pain. Other than that, she always had a regular cycle. Ovulatory cycle was also normal. And since they started for the conception in 2019, she has conceived. But after that, she had taken the vaccine. And after taking the vaccine, she suffered the miscarriage. And after that, they were not able to conceive, and doctors kept trying till they visited the doctor in 2019, and they visited my clinic at the end of 22, and for the 3 years they underwent four cycles of C. 3 years is a long time, and they underwent four cycles of in vitro fertilization and suffered each time embryo transplantation failure. So they were explained that since there were no medical problems either in male or female, they did not have anything to go for the treatment. And during the IVF ET, what is the normal regimen that have been followed? It is like ovulation is induced, and at that time also some corticosteroids are used. So it was a normal IVF ED treatment cycle. Next, coming to the lifestyle, because they do not have any medical or medical problem. There is no surgical history, and there is no problem in the menstrual cycle. The physiology of menstruation and ovulation was normal. Looking up from Ayurvedic point of view, interestingly, none of their doctors have discussed about their lifestyle or made any recommendations about their food. So when I started talking to them about Ayurvedic lifestyle, they were very surprised. So they were, previous slide, they were very much into American lifestyle, typical American lifestyle, going to the bed late, waking up late, starting the day with a black coffee. The female was having bowel movement 3 to 4 times in a week, which is very common in America. People do not have bowel movement first thing in the morning, and which is considered normal. Most of the Americans take their shower in the evening as a lifestyle. They may take shower in the morning as well, but mostly prefer to take shower after their work day in evening. This couple also used to take their shower in the evening. Dinner was always early, 6:30 p.m. She was very regular since she started working on her fertility. And before that also, she was very much regular in doing physical workout and going to the gym regularly for past 5-6 years. And as she worked in a warehouse, she also worked as a social worker in elementary school. As she worked in a warehouse, she has to stand long hours in the bright light. There might be the music in the background, sometimes loud noise and stressful day. And she even have to hold her natural urges because of the work demand. She could not leave her station. coming to the food and eating habits, they started the day with a smoothie, not was a breakfast person, carrying her cool smoothie to the office and sipping on it whole day. The lunch used to be mostly salad, cold salad with a piece of meat like chicken or sometimes sandwich. Sometimes she also had cooked meal of rice, bowls or pasta. Dinner was usually cooked fish or meat with a side of cooked vegetables, occasionally soups. She was not into drinking alcohol, but occasional hanging out, socializing and drinking was there. By faith, both of them were Christians, but not very much inclined in their mind towards the faith or observing any consistent practice. Next. According to my Ayurvedic Rogi Pariksha, during the first visit, her nadi was Vata Pitta. Jiva had Ama Dosha. She has never used tongue scraper, Jiva Nirlekhan. And there was Ama Dosha observed on the tongue. Prakriti was Pitta Vataj. Vikriti was Tridoshaj. Her Agni was Mand. Bowel movements only happening two or three times of the week. And she never looked up at it as an issue. Her bal was uttam, used to go to gym, did not have any medical problems. And she was heavily built on the, not obese, but on the bulkier side. And she always have been like that. So Medusar and the Strotas and all we will discuss further, because it is a problem associated with the conception. And digestion was not good. Rasva, Raktavaha, Medovaha, because of her slightly on the heavier side, not obese, but very bulky. Medovaha, Purishuha, and Artavaha Strotas. And her looking up at her blood reports and the routine investigations that were done at doctors, her hormone profile was normal, ovulatory cycle was normal. She has a regular cycle. So without doing all these investigations also, we can presume that she was having normal ovulation. Her weight was 180 pounds, height was good, and pulse and LMP, all these things are not important here. So we can move to the next slide. Next slide. Next slide. Reports of investigations are here. Previous, all the tests for heavy metal testing was done. Her blood group was ABO positive, and blood, like complete blood picture was done, and other investigations, they all were within normal limits. Only one thing that was only one thing that stands out is NK activity test, natural killer cells activity test. Usually it should be up to 10, but hers was reported, I have not encircled it, it is 27.2. So that based on the high number of natural killer cells, which is 27.2, cutoff is 10, that she was diagnosed with autoimmune infertility. Next. I'm not going into the details of investigation because everything is within normal limits. There is no negative finding. And these NK test was done, which are natural killer cell assay. NK cells, like I mentioned before, these like T lymphocytes, B lymphocytes, these are one of the types of the lymphocytes. And actually, currently research is going on to use these NK cells for treating cancer or fight infectious diseases. So they are actually useful. It is just that when they become notorious and start destroying the sperm or useful physiological elements of the body, that it is categorized as autoimmune cells. They are naturally present in the body and they perform some very useful functions for the body. For some women, these NK cells are high and they may conceive. For some women, NK cells are high and it may lead to miscarriage or failure of conception. So it is also not very diagnostic, because there are reports that women with high NK cells are able to conceive as well. So modern science or their doctors were confused about where to, what to do as a therapeutic approach. Next, so elevated, I will not go into the details, rather I will focus, considering the time, I will focus on the therapeutics. It is just that these elevated number of NK cells can, how they function is, they can release toxic substances and lead to either the three conditions that I already explained, kill the sperm, clump them, instead of destroying, just form clumping of the sperms, or make them immobile, or at the point of embryo transfer, it may lead to rejection. So they may function at these four levels. So what was happening in this case was also not clear. Any of these could be happening. During the IVF, the fertilization was successful and embryo transfer was rejected in this case. Next. So it is also more about the function of the NK cells. We can skip that. Next. If anybody will have questions, I will go over that. So what was the management approach for this case? As the couple was having, according to the Ayurveda, if we look up at what is the components, what are the components of fertilization? So we are very familiar with the four essential components of fertilization that we call Garbh Sambhav Samagri. The Shuddh Garbh Sambhav Samagri is essential for the conception. These four are Ritu, Kshetra, Ambu and Beej. Ritu is the cycle, menstrual cycle. Kshetra is the Garbhashay. Ambu is the Ras. And Beej is for female, it is ovum. For male, it is Shukra. So in this case, if we look up at, the Ritu is normal. Kshetra is good. There no abnormality was detected in Garbhashay. Ambu, Beej was normal, there was no abnormality in Shukra or Shorit, Shukra or Beej, Sri Beej, Shorit or Ato. How I see is that because of their non-Ayurvedic, I would say, because according to the modern, this is a completely healthy lifestyle. Their doctor never focused on what they are eating and what their lifestyle is. According to the Ayurveda, if you look up at it, the Rasa Dhatu of the body was not correct, because Rasa Dhatu is the precursor for all kind of tissues and structural and functional elements of the body. And from where the Rasa Dhatu is coming? Rasa Dhatu is coming from the Ahar. And how this Ahar is being processed is getting affected by the Dinacharya and the environment. So I simply, because they have never practiced Ayurveda before, I simply simplified it for them to understand what changes they can make. I explained this thing to them and simplified for them to be able to practice an Ayurvedic design of Dinacharya and Ahar. Next slide. And why that is important. So the first, okay, I will go with the Chikitsa Yojana. What I explained to them was that first I have to bring them to follow Ayurvedic Ahar and Vihar. Since it is not easy to make changes, someone who has always lived at certain time of the day, they do not feel like changing the time. Someone who has always used to go to bed late, over the night they cannot just change. So I help them come to the and get into the rhythm of the nature, and I gave them 3 months of time. So I worked with this couple working on their Ahar and Vihar for 3 months. I did not start any herb, any formulation. I did not make any changes, just work with them simply, helping them understand what is Ayurvedic routine and lifestyle and what changes they need to make in their Ahar. So that was a 3 month period. And then the plan was for the Panchakarma. Virechan Purvak Panchakarma was designed, where a phase of Deepan, Pachan and Anuloman, which usually would be 3 to 5 days or to the maximum 7 days. But for this case, it was of 21 days. Because once I started the, see, we have to understand that someone who has never used cumin or who is not used to even how we Indians use the spices in our food, they do not mind the taste, they do not want to add into their food. And how their body responds to even small doses of spices is very important for us to understand. Someone who has never eaten these things, even a little change gives huge results. So once I, and we cannot start in an adult dose for someone who has never had. So Hingwashtuk Chun, if I suppose if I use Trikutu or I want to do Deepan Pachan with Chitrak Chun, these are very powerful herbs. Someone who has never had even cumin, if I start Chitrak, it would be too strong for their body. So I acclimatized their body with the small dose and brought to the adult dose slowly. It is also about while taking these medicines, how they feel. Someone takes that same herb and feels yuck, like I cannot take it, and they are taking it just because they are told its effect on the body. And someone takes that same herb with this acknowledgement that these herbs are kind of, say, have healing properties, they are divine, it is going to help me, and they enjoy eating it. The result on the body changes. It is all about how mind is connected. So I was helping them in this transition during the first 3 months with the food. And once the herbs were started, I noticed the response of the body was not ready for the stronger dose, but still I wanted the result. So I started with this small dose, and that's why here you will notice it is classical, but the phase of Deepan, Pachan and Anuloman was 21 days. Because with Ahar and Vihar also, she was not having regular bowel movements. She was not there. To bring her body there, I used Deepan, Pachan and Anuloman for a long period of time. And then there was 7 days of Snehan and Swedan, and Bahya Snehan, Swedan, and then Abhyantar Snehan. So for the Snehan, Bahya Snehan, Dhanvantar Tel was used. And during the process of first 3 months acclimatizing them to Ayurvedic way of life, I have educated them about self-body massage Abhyanga. Because massage here is popular with the lotions, people do not like the application of oil on the body. So that also was also a challenge. So Dhanvantar Tel was used for Bahya Snehan combined with the Swedan. For Abhyantar Snehan, plain cow ghee was used. I did not use any Aushadi Yukta ghee. Medicated ghee was not used, only plain cow ghee was used. Eventually, they started liking the taste of the ghee. In the beginning, it was very strong and nutty flavor for them. But now they are very well used to using ghee. And so the aushad for Deepan Pachan used was, and Anuloman was used for Trikatu combined with the Chitrak Chun for Deepan Pachan, Anuloman Hingwashtuk Chun, and for Virechan, Trivrit Lehiyam was used. But body was gradually acclimatized and be ready to digest, assimilate and show the result of these herbs on the body. And for Snehan, Dhanvantar Tel was used. For Abhyantar Sneha, plain cow ghee was used. Once the Panchkarma was complete for the Shaman Chikitsa, Phalgrit, Trifalachun and Shatavri Avalhe was used. She still had challenges with regular bowel movement. So Shatavri Avalheham and Phalgrit was used. But in she didn't have to take it for long. She had first menstruation normal. During the second menstrual cycle, she conceived. Next, along with that, the counseling, that Sattva Vajay Chikitsa counseling was continued. And since they followed, they were Christians, and I explained to them practicing Ayurveda is not about religion, but faith is very important. Connecting to their own self at that level, and having faith in God. Because see, conception, even in my practice, I come across couple. In this couple, the NK cells were high, but I also come across couple where there is nothing wrong, physical or any kind of Every report would be normal. Is still the couple is unable to conceive. What is the cause? So here we focus in Ayurveda on the daiv, the three categories of chikitsa: daiv, vipashra, yukti, vipashra, sattva vijay. So the in that category also daiv vipashra chikitsa has come, as has been explained in Charak Samhita first. Mantra, aushadhi, madi, mangal, bali, upahar, omnium. What we do with all these? We pray to the gods. We acknowledge that there is divine. And for conception also, this is like consider why the conception happens. This atma, which is traveling through various cycles of life, comes to the kukshi of the couple who is desiring for conception. So this is something, a divine process. This jivatma, when this atma becomes jivatma, it is not in our hand. Like when suppose someone gets pregnant, they do not have a connection with the atma. They do not ask that atma, do you want to be born from me? Or that atma does not comes to the expectant lady and ask, can I come to your womb? This is very important thing to consider, that atma does not chooses. The person who wants to conceive does not chooses. There is another divine power that makes it happen. So the prayer to that divine power is important. I hope I'm making sense. Because when everything is normal, the couple does not conceive. And for that, Ayurveda says, daiv, what is not. So it is not that we do not understand it scientifically and we are saying God. It is just that we understand it very so profoundly that we acknowledge that, yes, divine intervention is important. So explaining it to them, helping them meditate every day, sit down together and pray every day was important. So while I was helping them, falling into the Ayurvedic Ahar and Vihar at that time, I helped them make a altar in their house, take shower in the morning and sit down together, light a lamp and pray together. Desire is one thing, but connecting to the divine and seeking blessings for the fulfillment of desire together is another thing. So I help them on that path also. And that's why I have written here Sattva Vajay Chikitsa and Daiva Vipashra Chikitsa. The anxiety of not having conceived and undergone for 3 years, because here visiting to a doctor's office itself can make a person anxious. Not being heard and not being explained things why it is happening can make person uncertain and hopeless. So listening to them, helping them understand their problem and what are the solutions according to the Ayurveda was the part of the Sattva Vajay Chikitsa, which gave them the confidence. And then there was the Vipashra Chikitsa, and it is not just Ayurvedic Chikitsa, it is the blessing of the God that the couple has conceived. I personally believe in that. So we are also, the rogis come to us guided by the divine powers. There are so many people suffering in the world. Certain person comes to us. So we are part of their journey. I acknowledge the hands of the God in that. Next. So why Ayurvedic routine? I also, along with that, it is not just that, because Ayurvedic text says in 2017, Nobel Prize was given for physiology and medicine to the scientist who proved biorhythm or circadian rhythm at the molecular level. How it works is that it helps in the food that we eat. It helps in it because it regulates our biorhythm, which eventually regulates our digestion and metabolism. So what the person is eating is important, but how body is digesting is important, we always say in Ayurveda. And Dinacharya plays an important role. So there is a scientific validation also. So this Dinacharya was explained to them that waking up early is important. Ayurveda says that waking up early, Brahmurte Uttishte. So waking up early helps in healthy elimination, drinking a glass of hot water and then eating, having a shower and doing the prayer and meditation, and then eating the breakfast only when they feel hungry, otherwise just having a ginger tea or any herbal tea it is really not important that one should have the tea of these herbs or something like this. It is just that not eating a heavy meal is important. So getting out of a smoothie was a huge thing for them, because it was the way they have started their day since college time. So getting out of that and just sipping a ginger tea, and not sipping all day, but sit down, mindfully drink and finish that tea, and then start the day, and then eating lunch, which is a cooked meal, was also a huge change for them, helping them understand the importance of the grains. Because I also explained to them how fresh it is, how much food they can put on their plate, which is not packaged, which is not processed, which is not frozen. So getting grains, cooking it just rice and vegetables, transitioning to lentil soup was also important. So this way, getting them into the Ayurvedic lifestyle and food and eating habits, slowing down from the evening, not going to the gym was also one of the important things, and helping them practice yoga in the morning together was also part of the changes of the daily routine. Going to bed early was also eventually established. Next. So I already explained food and digestion, but here the point is that what we eat, how we digest, how affects how we are. Because in Ayurveda, we have this concept of ahar ras. What we digest, we make ahar ras. The essence of the ahar ras becomes rasadhatu. The essence of the rasadhatu, rakt. So progressively, it forms the shukra and ojas. Here, formation of shuddha ojas, uttam ojas was important, and also rasadhatu. Arthavdhatu is upadhatu of rasadhatu. There is difference of opinion, rasadhatu or raktadhatu, but most acceptable you will find in text is arthav is upadhatu of rakt. So when ras, when ahar pachan is right, ahar ras is good quality. I should say quality and quantity both here. It is qualitative and quantitative. Then ras is good. Then rakta is good. It also goes towards having a optimal quality artha. So that was also focus of the dincharya, to help in digestion and metabolism, to have uttam rasa dhatu. Because here we were focusing on ambu, formation of rasa, so that it is not having toxins that I visualize as some factors like NK cells, which is destroying the sperm. Next. So mindfulness, there is important, this is a published paper that says that mindfulness-based program for infertility, where the success rate has been seen for the couples who did meditation and mindfulness compared to the people who did not do it. And I have incorporated that in also, and after the completion of Panchkarma, in their home test, they found the pregnancy test positive, and they were very apprehensive. They did not want to visit their doctor, that they wanted to continue with Ayurveda, but it is very important to get baseline investigations done and regular visit to their medical doctor. I persuaded them for that. They have become strong supporters and believers of Ayurveda, and recently she has gone for her follow-up visit, and it was 12 weeks of healthy pregnancy. So I just wanted to share. The conclusion is that we really do not have to use herbs, or we do not have to, like, we immediately a problem comes, person starts thinking what medicine can be given. It is not that we always have to think of medicine. Ayurveda is profound science, and our ancient sages had simplified it for everyday practice. It is important to have daily routine, a focus on daily routine and food that we eat and how we eat. That actually helps solve 90% of problems. Any disease you take. So this could be another discussion. I really wanted to emphasize on looking for the herbs and formulation. The approach might have been, what herbs can be given to her because her NK cells is high and this is an autoimmune infertility. And you see here, I did not even use medicated ghee. just a plain key was used, and it is a successful pregnancy. And I'm presenting this case after their consent. Next slide. So I already concluded, Ahar and Vihar play important role in health and disease. In Ayurveda, it is about swastha rakshanam. We protect our health, we maintain good health, and only then we look up for the therapeutics. Here the focus was just Ahar and Vihar. Of course, Panchakarma was done because accumulated doshas cannot be just managed with Ahar and Vihar and Sanshaman Chikitsa. So here Panchakarma was very important and Virichan was important, but still the mainstay of therapy is Ahar and Vihar. So Panchakarma was done to eliminate accumulated malas. So working with the Shuddha Garbha Sambhav Samagri, this case has been able to successfully conceive. Thank you so much. If you have any questions, I will take that. Maybe you are on mute, Dr. Heber.
Yeah, many thanks for presenting this beautiful case and a successful pregnancy. There are like a lot of things to learn. One is that in a country like USA, I mean, first you were my professor here in India, and then you go to a country where Ayurveda practice is under severe legal restrictions and all. And then we here, like, we get the patient and we just, in India, we just start treatment. We do not bother like explaining about A of Ayurveda. But here, there, you have to like explain the spelling and pronunciation of Ayurveda from there to, to take the, take the whole burden of explaining Ayurveda and then lifestyle and all. It's a wonderful lesson for all of us, especially to know the amount of effort to love and practice Ayurveda in USA, like what it takes. It was a beautiful example. I see here Zuka Till raising hand. If you have anything to say, please.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Till. I'm a medical doctor, and I would like to ask you whether after the change of the daily routine as an Ayurvedic manner, and after conceive, the immunity tests were done again, or the natural killer tests were measured?
No, they did not go to the doctor for this investigation again, because after the Panchakarma, within a month, the female has conceived. So they did not visit the medical doctor, and this test was not done.
Thank you very much.
Here.
Thank you. Let me.
Yeah, I just wanted to, because there are cases when you can see the change of the immunology tests. You know that the level of inflammation is reduced just because of the change of the lifestyle and the healthy eating.
Yes, I absolutely agree. But in this case, that test was not done. We cannot see practice. These are, like Dr. Heber said, we practice under severe legal restrictions. I cannot recommend a test. And since she conceived within second cycle, like Panchakarma was completed, she has her first periods, and during second cycle, she was pregnant. So she did not thought of going to the medical doctor in that period, and she conceived soon after. So this test was not performed. They wanted actually to continue their antenatal care in Ayurveda and do not want to go to the medical doctor because of their negative experiences. But they were persuaded she is under gynec care, but this test was not done.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. And let me bring in Guraja sir to this discussion. That in one of the things that I observed Vandanaji's presentation, sir, was that she did not bend the rules of Ayurveda. She brought the person to Ayurvedic lifestyle and then slowly corrected their lifestyle and all. So it becomes so important in in some treatments, not to hurry up to directly to the medicines, go with lifestyle first.
It was a very wonderful approach what he has done. Definitely that is a way when one has to do it, because the Indians are exposed to these type of herbs and the spices, but may not be the same in case of the Westerners. Then suddenly if you opt for such a dose, then maybe normal for Indian personality, but for the races of those Western countries, they may find it very difficult. Even simple spices like pepper may cause a burning sensation, even in the ulceration in the mouth. Then they totally reject the way approach you do it. So that is the way we need to convince the people to follow the things step by step manner. So they, when they started using, slowly they develop a confidence and they'll experience personalized things. Then automatically they follow the things. And automatically that comes in a, they'll fall in a groove, which can be in a way of Ayurveda. And definitely I appreciate with so much of restrictions and these things she's practicing in America, using the concepts of Ayurveda. It's a wonderful thing being there. And hope the things will sooner, it will be clear, because the Ayurveda being recognized world over. So in future days, there may be some relaxations in all these things, and you may have a better options of practicing there. Definitely, and it's a wonderful approach.
And because it is, I just want to add, because it is a platform where people come to learn. This success story, they should keep in mind having patience and believing in the Ayurvedic practice of Ahar Vihar is very important. I am very new to the group and I see people talking about the herbs and formulations so much. It is not about using herbs and formulations only. That is very much modern approach, symptomatic. You have this, in this what you can give. Ayurveda looks up at the root cause. So this mindset needs to be kind of changed, that it is not Ayurvedic Aushadhi that works. It is a comprehensive, what Ayurveda says, Yukti Vyapasha Chikitsa, bringing various variables and designing that for that individual.
Yes. And also now let me welcome Raghuram sir to the session and his observations, please.
Yeah, Dr. Vannaji, first of all, it was a wonderful presentation, comprehensive presentation, I should tell. So you touched, including the hands of God that you mentioned. So the Daiva Vyapashraya Chikitsa, maybe the counseling, the Yukti Vyapashraya, so many things brought into the picture. So to handle, so we can definitely understand how difficult it would have been. So the thick line of difference between practicing the same case or handling the same case, being in an Indian setup and being in US setup, it will be totally like a distant ends to manage those things. Because as you said, as Hebar sir rightly said, starting from A of Ayurveda, you need to introduce every concept to the patient or the client. You also said that how difficult it was for them to take a cumin water, so how to detach them from using the smoothies and all those things. So really, results, yes, it will be fruitful at the end, but what happens behind that? So the entire story that you narrated is the hard work and also the teamwork of like Chikitsa Chatushpada. So you being the leader of Chatushpada there, so having convinced the couple and taking them to their fruitful conclusion. So that should be really great. And the way you started the presentation with Ritu Kshetra, Bija, Ambu, these are the main factors that we are taught right from the first professional BAMS. So that these are the, in the basic anatomy or the embryology of Ayurveda. So we study that in Garbha Sharira. Apart from that, we have two broad classifications I would like to add in Ayurveda. So the Yoni Vyapath and Arthava Vyapath, though they have been explained in a scattered way, so they have been brought together, and so if we can compile things and see that these two contexts also should be seen. So while going through the Yoni Vyapath, it moreover covers the anomalies of the structures and functions of the female reproductive system and how it responds to the other things. So interesting thing is four main factors have been mentioned in the causation of yoni vapor. So yoni includes everything, the female genital tract. So it includes the uterus, the fallopians, the ovaries, the vagina, and also almost in the physiological components, the hormones controlling them, and a lot more. So it's a big theory. So the four main causative factors here are mithyachara is one. That is the big one. So as we can see, Vandanaji, detailing the food aspect, how important it is to have good, healthy food practices. So that is especially at the time of conception, not only by the woman, so it's also the responsibility of the man to consume healthy foods. So that is why Ayurveda way of conception is very, very holistic and comprehensive, where even healthy person are given shodhana before. It need not be people who are having trouble, like the case Vandanaji presented, or so many pathological manifestations in which come into the way of conception. But even for healthy individuals, they have to take panchakarma as the preparation. So those who can afford, those who can fit into that, can take panchakarma, the man, the woman. So, and then have try for conception. Probably that is a precaution to avoid these things, and also the killer cells and all those things Vandanaji has mentioned as mala, which is coming into the rakta. So to cleanse that, to deep cleanse the system, and also prepare that artava and also the shukra for a better conception. So Ayurveda has clearly mentioned the shodhana to be taken before the conception. May not be mandatory, it may not be fitting into the lifestyle practices of the modern day man or a woman. So, but if they are done in a comprehensive way, yes, definitely. So here the mention of mithyachara can be classified as mithya ahara and mithya vihara. So inappropriate food practices and inappropriate lifestyle practices. So very, very important here, which are the etiological factors. The second one being pradushta artava. Again, artava is a big word, again, which comprises of the menstrual blood, the ovum, the hormones controlling the menstrual cycles, all those things. Artava, pradushta artava, so the contamination of artava, so the contamination of the ovum, maybe the infections which may happen in the uterine like environment. So many things, the hormones not able to probably control, the hypo and hyper things happening there. So, and other primary diseases which are also causing some environmental changes in the uterus. So probably which makes them accept or reject the sperms which are coming into them. So maybe the antibodies and other things, antigens, as the female reproductive system considers the sperm to be a foreign body and I need to attack and destroy against the general principle. So then coming to Bija Dosha. So Bija Dosha is again Artava Dosha and Shukra Dosha. So the contaminated sperm or the contaminated ovum. So again, so that becomes comes into the way of Yoni Vapat. So Yoni Vapat is a big list of diseases in which the conception part and the healthy conception part and not being able to conceive. So parts, infertility and all those things come into the picture. The fourth part is very interesting. Vandanaji rightly touched upon that. The hands of God, that is Daiva. So Daiva has been mentioned as the fourth factor. All unknown factors which are responsible for not for the Yoni Vapat. So if we take it for in this particular context as not being able to conceive, so the Daiva will be a very important aspect as well. So we also have one more aspect of the female disorders, that is Artava Vapat. So this was Yoni Vapat. Artava Vapat is a contamination of Artava. So the sperm, Stri Bija, so the ovum or the menstrual blood or whatever it is there. So contamination by the doshas. So that itself is the Artava Dushti by different doshas. And there also, when we go through these clinical features, we probably get Yoni Vapat and Artava Vapat or such explanations in Ayurveda. When we go through the explanation, we get so many contexts where it implies so many disorders in a woman. or so many conditions in a woman or so many pathological manifestations in a woman due to these combined causes, which doesn't give a suitable environment to conceive or to accept the sperm or to reject it. So it's the further part of the research. I don't want to take too much of time because I have certain conditions to mention here, which may possibly be considered. So this is a broader thing. The Artha Vyapatha, Yoni Vyapatha, the etiological factors given in Yoni Vyapatha will help us to understand comprehensively, though there are four factors mentioned: Mithya, Mithyachara, Pradushta Artava, Bija Dosha. Bija Dosha, as I was mentioning, so it may not be the ovum, it may be the sperm also. The sperm also might have a dosha, so probably that is why it is not able to fertilize the egg. So the egg may also have the problem. So, and the environment also may be having the problem. One final thing I would like to end with is Master Harita's explanation, where this Vataja, Pittaja and Kafaja types of Artava and Yoni Vyapats, when he is explaining that, he explains that in the context of Vandhyatva chapter. So that clearly indicates that the Artava, which has been contaminated by Vata or Pitta or Kapha, whatever it may be there, they may straight away lead to the infertility. So, and especially when we see the Vata is responsible, especially Apana Vata is responsible for Shukrartava, Shakunmurta, Garbhanishkramana Kriyaha. So everything, the pelvic organs and their functions are controlled by Apana Vata. So when we are seeing this, the Vata type of environment which has been created in the yoni may be the primary cause. So very importantly, the Vata is the controlling force, and the Vata regulation is very important. So the foods and the activities, everything which are disturbing Vata, we just think it is causing dryness. So if there is a dry environment inside the uterus, so probably that is the best, because we know that Shukra is a Kapha Varga Dhatu. So when the Kapha Varga Dhatu is entering into the Vata environment of the yoni, so probably that is one of the causes for destruction. This is an example of the sperm. So where, so again, it comes into the way of infertility. So when we are seeing deeper into these contexts of explanation by various acharyas, so we will get so many explanations. Probably we will end up with better and better medications and treatment plan for these conditions. So well presented and awesome presentation, Dr. Vandanaji. Thank you for the presentation.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And Punsavan is very misunderstood thing. Ayurveda always believes in creating better life, better health, everything better, and eventually be free from the cycles of life and death. That is which is the pain, being in the cycle. And that is one of the things that Punsavan does, creating better. Shudhan helps create better. So thank you so much. You all have put valuable information related to this presentation. I really appreciate to help students better. And I thank Dr. Hebbar for this opportunity to be able to present this. Thank you so much.
Just last two questions, sir. Like, why did you select Trifula in the Shamanamsha race?
She was regularly having this issue with constipation, and this was the hope that she responded well. I actually, during her 3 month of Ahar Vihar Chikitsa, I started working with the single herb Haritaki. I actually love Haritaki. I use it in so many ways. Just single herb gives so many results. We can just have a talk about it. I started working with her on Haritaki, and eventually I decided, based on the experience, to use Trifla. There was no specific reason. It is very popular formulation in USA, very well known, and they felt comfortable using that. It is also very much important for people who are undergoing this Ayurveda journey to be able to understand those herbs, their availability, and look up at that internet and feel that, well, I am very happy to use that. It is not what I am saying you have to use. It is also they being ready for that. I hope it is making sense. Those who practice here, they would understand. It is not just we tell you and just you use it. It is never like that. You explore what it is and then be ready to use it. Yeah, but there was no specific reason for Trifla. It is the simplest that could help with the Vibandh. So I just chose that. It is Rasayan. It has many benefits.
And when you started correcting the lifestyles for which you took the 3 months initially, with the correction of lifestyle and, you know, putting them in Ayurvedic diet, etc., did you observe any weight loss?
Yes, there were many positive differences. She has never told that she is suffering from the dryness of the skin. And once she started using ghee, she was very happy that I am noticing so many changes. My skin is so having smooth, my hair is good, and I'm sleeping better. This ghee is magic. She was like hooked to ghee. One simple thing that she loved was eventually, first thing that she started loving was the use of the ghee. So there were many side benefits, actually. She was able to, this is one thing I emphasized on her physical characteristics, Rogi Pariksha, that she did not mention it as obesity, but she was on the plumper side and she always wanted to be a little more thinner. And actually, she was able to achieve that.
An important lesson there is that, yes, you know, infertility is a main cause for which they have come to you. But these incremental mini benefits like improvement in glow and feeling wellness and feeling light, all those things push them to be persevered through the different Ayurvedic medicines and treatments.
Absolutely.
And apart from Virechana, do you practice any other form of Panchakarma there?
No. If Basti, absolutely no. And we do not do Vaman, we do not do, even for Nasya also, it is very popular, but I treat very carefully. Virechan is the most used practice for my practice. People do use Nasya on their own also, they learn from internet and all those things. We understand that it is a very potential route of drug administration, and how Ayurveda has explained its preparatory procedures and after procedures are equally important. I discourage people who have already been practicing Nasya coming to me. I emphasize on Pratimarsh Nasya and not Arutal Nasya as Nitya Sevani also. So I mostly emphasize on Virechan, and Vaman and Basti are absolutely contraindicated, so I have not.
Okay.
I have clients in India, actually. I used to specialize in infertility. I have many people reaching out from India. For them, when they go to my students or the college where I recommend them, I always, for them, I work with that, but practicing in USA, I have not.
Okay, before we end, there's a comment by respected sirs and madams. I really felt connected and enjoyed this session as I myself went through my whole pregnancy journey following only Ayurvedic way of life and Ayurvedic medicines when required. Never took any kind of allopathic medicines in 9 months. Even when I suffered with corona in my third month of pregnancy, I took only Ayurvedic medicines and my baby is absolutely fine. Thank you for conducting this class and thank you. So thank you all the students for your active participation. On behalf of all of our students, and my words of gratitude to Guraja sir and Raghuram sir. And my special thanks to Professor Vandana Ji for presenting. We hope that we see you quite often in this Guru Bodha and Raghuram sir conducts Gurukula session, and maybe be enlightened with your rich experience in future as well.
Absolutely, I would love to. Thank you so much. Thank you all everyone who has joined and spending your time with us. Thank you so much. I hope you found it helpful.
Thank you. Thank you, Professor.
Thank you.